This is the Extraordinary Life Podcast with Archbishop Sam Amaga, bringing you the word of faith and the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. We're talking about winning in hard times. And today we're focusing on releasing the champion in you. Hallelujah. We're releasing the champion in you. Anything that has conquered you before, you shall conquer it. Any circumstance that's conquered your family before, you shall conquer it. Releasing the champion in you. Glory to God. Releasing the champion in you. Releasing the champion in you. Anything that's conquered you before, you shall conquer it. The time to conquer is now. Hallelujah. Amen. When are you conquering?
Now.
When are you conquering?
Now.
Praise God. Praise God. One thing I've noticed about champions and achievers, they remain excited even in the midst of challenges. For it takes that excitement and joy in the spirit to go through and break through. Whatever you are going through right now, you shall break through in life. Now the phase you are now is a going through phase. Who hasn't gone through? So what? Why are you complaining, mourning and screaming? And who has not gone through? Jesus went through. But the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Everyone you see on the top today went through something to break through to the top. Now, so tell yourself, I'm not breaking down, I'm breaking through. Please help me say that to yourself. Now, please look at your face. Say, what's peculiar in hard times? It's not the first time it has come. In the midst of hard times, greatness has been made. Have I not shown you that it took a terrible hard time? The Bible calls it hard famine in the book of Genesis chapter 12 verse 10. In the midst of hard famine, chapter 13, the Bible says Abraham became rich. How come that others are getting poorer and poorer in hard times and some ones are getting rich? And he said he was rich in gold, in silver, in kettles. Come on, my friend, before this season is over in Nigeria, we shall see you at the top. Let me hear. I'm gaining heights. Somebody shout, I'm gaining heights. Said that very loud. I'm gaining heights. Amen. Banks are closing doors of jobs against staff. Was that Wednesday? One bank sacked 1,400 staff, including managers. The next day, another bank sacked 400 staff. Now, government said don't sack again, but government has to inject money. Now, in advanced countries, if you don't want companies to sack, you inject money into the system. Praise God. If you say don't sack, they are there to make profit. So they downsize in terms of cost. Amen. So when Obama came in, it was a hard time, like this season of hard time in around 2008, 2009. I told you, hard times come in their waves. This will be the last hard time that will meet you talking about luck. Now, this way will take you to height. You are establishing the height. So when hard times is beating those in the valley, you are helping those in the valley. Praise God. First thing Obama did and his government was to inject money into the system in the midst of collapse. Amen. Now, but let me tell you what. They are sacking staff. This week, I declare 20 pungent jobs upon Salamites. 20 pungent jobs. Release. Yours is to locate where the door is. There is this thing somewhere there. You got to locate it. And that's the purpose of the wisdom and the favor of God. Favor opens the door where doors are closed against others. Wisdom establishes you at the top. Praise God. That's why we're doing this thing. Because among Salamites, even in the midst of this hard time, there shall be trillionaires. They shall rise here. There shall be billionaires. They shall rise here. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We are touching heaven. That's why we're doing this. We are touching heaven for your favor to be released. He said, for thou will bless the righteous. Somebody shout, I'm blessed. Say that very loud. You are blessed. Say that very loud. You must understand the blessing. You must know that God at this time is working with the program of the blessing. I am blessed. He said, thou will bless the righteous. With favor will you clothe him as with a shield, as with a garment. So now, if you walk in the program of God's righteousness, you will be clothed, surrounded with favor. Remember what favor does. Favor opens the door. When doors are closed against others, it just opens the door. Favor announces your name before kings. Praise God. Joseph was a prisoner. But one word you will never miss in scripture, in prison he prospered. How can a prisoner prosper? What business does he do in prison? And I challenged myself many years ago, I underlined that scripture. If a prisoner can prosper, how much more me with my two legs and two hands? But there was a dimension of favor upon Joseph that is not connected to how hard you work. Amen. There's this dimension of favor that was upon Joseph. Praise God. Now listen. The last time anybody will say you are down is today. Can't be down when your father is the almighty God. He can't be possessing and walking around with all low children. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. When we came to Abuja some years back, I said before we were 10 years in Abuja, there must be 10 branches. Oh, no, they are close to that 10 branches. We are not near 10 years yet. Because God works with, I called a henchman to my office and I said, today, all staff must have their target. I don't release people into war front on the field without goalpost. What are you kicking? Where are you scoring? Everyone, you must have your target. The target is your goalpost. And we know you're only productive when you have scored. Praise God. Praise God. Understand that there's something God has set in the world. That yours is to know the principles of the world, which is the wisdom key. Amen. The principles of the world. Those are the wisdom keys God has given you. The key does what? Many, many years ago in Lagos, and very early every morning, about 5 a.m., I get down, come downstairs, go into the chambers, and spend time with God. And this day, I had my bunch in my hand, and I came to the door to my chambers and I used this one, it didn't open. I used this one, it didn't open. I used this one, it didn't open. And anyone I'm using and turning is causing blisters on my hand, right? And until I picked the right key, went in without struggle, it opened. I was standing right there when God gave me a word. With right keys in your hand, struggle is over. Right keys in your hand. Every struggle today is the fact that you have not located the right key. With right keys in your hand, you don't force the door open. You simply open the door. And what the word of God is, the secrets that are packaged in the word of God are the wisdom keys. When you live by these wisdom keys, when you operate by these wisdom keys, you don't struggle to force doors open. Praise God. Say to someone, there's no challenge anywhere. Your ignorance is your challenge. Say that to another person, there's no challenge anywhere. Your ignorance is your challenge. Amen. So open your heart. Be teachable. I said last week, if you are teachable, you are reachable. Be teachable. Don't deceive yourself. You don't know it all yet. We shall only know it all when we have met with the Lord. You said, but I'm 20-year Christian. No, I'm 43 years Christian. And I'm born again. I'm not talking about, I've been Christian all my 63 years. But 43 years ago, I got born again. And I don't claim to know it all yet. I'm studying hard every day. Praise God. I'm studying hard every day to know more. Because the more you know, the more you grow. The less you know, the less you grow. And until you keep studying more to know more, you keep dying daily. Now nothing shall die in your life. 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 Can I hear you shout? Hard time cannot make things hard for me. Amen. Now this series is for you. It's for your family. It's for your business. It's for your career. So that the championship in you, the achiever in you will be released. Praise God. So you overcome failure, stagnation and delays in your life. You will begin to enjoy the winning life in the covenant dimension. Praise God. You will discover who God created you to be. When you do, and you know the love of God, the magnitude of the love of God, you are not deceived about that, my friend. There is no hard time that will make things hard for you. Praise God. Praise God. The economy is hard, but the one who is your father holds the key of all economy. The book of Haggai chapter 2 verse 8. I love that scripture. In fact, from verse 6. Somebody give us Haggai chapter 2 verse number 6 to 8. I love that scripture. I stay on it. I meditate it many days. Haggai chapter 2 verse number 6 to 8. Please, let's have it up quickly. Now, he said, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once. That's major. He said, all the shaking you have been seeing, he says, nothing. He said, the major one is yet once, and I will do what? I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Are they not shaking enough? Ships are sinking. Aircrafts are just falling like balloon. Are they not shaking enough? Now he went ahead to say, now, France is under the water. In some parts of the United States, fire is consuming here and flood is consuming here. Are they not shaking enough? And the Bible says, yet once, there's a major dimension that is coming. But before that dimension comes, God says he'll put something in the hand of his own children. Oh, you don't understand God's program. Please, let's look at verse number 8. He said, and I will shake all nations. And the economy is not shaking enough. Markets are falling. Growth is getting stagnated. The economy is getting... He said, I'm going to shake nations. I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come. Come to where? Is it come to Nigeria or where? He said, it shall come. Now, what is the desire of all nations? Please pick your pen and your Bible, I'm right. The desire of all nations is simply mean all the things nations desire, the desirable things. What are nations working for? Money, gold, silver. The more gold they have, the more stability in their currency. I don't know which prime minister somewhere sold out the gold of their gold reserve and their Gordon Brown. He sold all the gold reserve of England and the economy has been very unstable. Now he said, I will shake the desirable things of nations. It's not just shaking nations. The things, he said, the reason I'm shaking them is so that the things they have worked for, they have desired, they have pursued, will come. Come to where? Come to where? Please, let's look at that scripture. Somebody shout, it's coming. This abundance is coming. This blessing is coming. This greatness is coming. He said, the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. What makes you go for tourism in France is the gold tower. God said, I will bring them and fill this house. Who is this house? The Bible says, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I will fill this house. He wants to fill believers and fill the church with his glory, the glory of his wealth, not of hardship. Amen. And he said, I will not only fill the house with glory, said the Lord, verse number 8. Verse 8. And he said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, said the Lord. The challenge you have is if you don't know how to approach your father, you'll never access it. He said, I have it. But if you don't know how to approach him, you'll never access it. It's there. He's not going to create any blessing. They're all there already. But you must know how to access him, to approach him, to access it. That's the object of the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is divided into two segments. Phase 1, chapter 1 to 16, it is teaching you how to serve God. How to approach God. And chapter 17 to 27, how to serve God. Those are the two principles that you cannot do anything. If you don't know how to serve God acceptably, you will struggle in life. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. He's not content with just your once upon a time service. He said, my son, give me your heart. That's what he demands for. He didn't say, give me your money first. Your money is not important. He has silver and gold. Now, the reason for your money is so that it can multiply back for you. So if you withhold it, you withhold your blessing. The reason for your tithe is so that he can rebuke devourers for you. He doesn't have, devourers can't approach him. So if you withhold your tithe, you open your doors for devourers. Amen. And so the principles of the word of God positions you to approach your father and access the gold and the silver. You must know two things. How to approach him. Number two, how to serve him. These are two important objects you must know as wisdom principles that will bring the blessing into your life. One day, Pastor David followed me somewhere. And I was just sitting down. He brought my things inside. I think we were in Lagos, I can't remember. And as I was going to minister, he was serving his water and whatever he was serving. Somebody tapped another person. Please, can you get me the name of that pastor? They got him the name. And he said, the way you serve with excitement, you serve the servant of God with excitement. He said, I am blessed seeing your service. He did a check of 10,000 in that service. That's not his offering. That's a blessing. Two things you must understand in life if you are going to break the backbone of hardship. Number one, how do I approach God? Number two, how do I serve God and serve in the house of God? If you master these two keys, hardship will not see your brake light. If you don't master these two keys, every other thing, there are too many other principles that come there. You see, you end up complaining. Oh, but I give. Oh, but I pay my tithe. But it's not important. You understand Leviticus chapter 10? Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, they were doing service. They burned a censer in God's presence, and yet fire consumed them because they were not approaching God appropriately. So, you must know how to approach God, how to serve God. One of the ways to approach God is, now, you recognize any assignment given you in the house of God is the greatest privilege you can have the rest of your life. The greatest honor is to be considered fit by God to give you an assignment. You're not doing pastor any favor, because if you don't do that assignment, another person will do it. You are doing your destiny a great favor. Amen. Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it said, if a man is brought into great honor and he does not know it, he is worse than a beast. He said he doesn't even have a sense even animals have. If he doesn't know, the greatest honor is to serve in the house of God. Now, he said, if he does not know that, he does not have the sense animals have. Worse than a beast. So, if I conquer and I master how to approach God and how to serve God, Satan can go and sleep. Amen? Storms will not stop coming. It will always come. But storms don't drown anybody, everybody. Now, you will only tell the stories. You'll be part of those who are sharing testimonies. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lift your hand and say, Lord, I must know how to serve you and how to approach you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When this ministry started, there were no staff. It was mom and I. I did all the writing and she did all the typing. We went to church. She did all the sweeping. I did all the preaching. Amen. We swept toilets. We washed toilets before members come. After they close, we do that. I became the first driver of this ministry. I preach all night from 10 p.m. and we close 5:30. And I mount on the bus that the church had. Well, that was the money God gave us to buy a car, and we bought a bus and gave to church. The bus that church had, and we, people jump into it. And I was a preacher. And of course, younger person, it was hard preaching, my friend. Now, 5:30, I'm jumping and I'm dropping them around the city of Port Harcourt before I go home Saturday morning to rest. Now, who has not done all of that? Now, know how to serve God. Know how to approach God. Your case is settled. You shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread, your water. He won't curse your bread and your water. He won't. Now, any church where people know how to serve God, they are running to serve God, that church is a blessed church. The people there will be blessed people. Amen. I gave this testimony one time. A young man came to church for the first time. It was a rainy day, and somebody mistakenly matched his shoe. That's all. That was spoiled the whole service for everybody. That day, my shoe. Maybe that's the only shoe he had. Every pleading, all right, we'll clean it for you. My shoe. One man came out with expensive lace, Abada, and he was causing commotion. Young man, sorry. Before the young man said, my shoe again, he bent down in his Abada, used the end of his lace and cleaned the shoe. Now, this young man was jaw open. Lace for my muddy shoe. This man knows he's going to wash that. He will send it to dry cleaner. Who is this man? He was the head of the sanctuary ministry, the cleaning ministry for the church, for that church. Who is he? A serving major general in the army. Once the young man knew this, he was humbled forever. Forever. Forever humbled. If you don't know how to serve God, you don't know how to approach God, your prayers can bring the blessing. Because the blessing is not a prayable object. Prosperity is a doable thing. You shall serve, he shall bless. He didn't say you shall pray and he shall bless. Praise God. The prayer we do is to create the God atmosphere. So when you serve in that God atmosphere, the blessing is released without hindrance. Praise the Lord. Say to somebody, I must know how to approach God. I must know how to serve God. Now, I want to let us know this. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. My life is consumed with knowing this. Praise God. Many years ago, I determined serving God must have testimony. Praise the Lord. Serving God must have testimony. Somebody say, why do you give good cars to your children? I said, I've given good cars to people. I've given out over 21 cars. Some of them Jeeps. So why shouldn't my own children drive? I'm not using church money for it. Praise God. You shall serve and he shall bless. And people, church people don't have understanding. They put themselves into problem. They say things they don't understand. Titus. Where's Titus? We dedicated your child today. He's here. I mean, don't bother to get up, please. I don't want anybody to identify with them together. One day, the man he drove before was a son since 1972. That's when the Lord brought him to me. Amen? Mentored him spiritually, growing. He was doing something that needed some good car. But his car was not strong enough to do the run around he needed for that project. I was in U.S. when the Lord put in my spirit to buy Amanda for him. I bought it, imported it, I didn't tell him, brought it to my house, called him. I said, drive to the house in the evening. He didn't know why he was coming. He drove to the house, I gave him a key of Amanda. All right? He's not a biological son, but he's a spiritual son. Now, so if I can do that for many people, why can't I give a car to my own children? So when a church people begin to say wrong things, don't you see how they hurt themselves? Amen. Now, you see, learn how to serve God and learn how to approach God. The house of God was approached with reference, with urgency. David says, he said, the assignment of the king requires urgency. Don't delay me here. This is an assignment of the king I'm on. I must hurry. So God takes note of those attitudes. You are coming to church. Even though, you know, you are coming, taking your time. You are not coming to the king. You are coming to a king's servant. Maybe that day you come and sit down, you tell angel to attend to you. Amen? Praise God. From this moment, you shall win. Amen. And effortlessly, God shall open doors for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout, I must know how to approach God. I must learn how to serve God. When this ministry started, the only car I came with from my business with, I struggled. And I won't lie to you, I struggled. I struggled to give away that car. That was the only car we had. Now, many things were ringing in my mind. Then what would we drive after this? Is that important? And I said, Lord, you didn't call me to empty me, did you? Because virtually everything was given out. And now the only thing of value, our car, is gone. Now that car was sold. Now look at the trick of the enemy. This is how he cheats you. He negotiates your blessings with you. He said, Pharaoh, tell them, oh, Moses, I'll let you guys go, but leave your cow and your cattle here. And Moses said, if we leave our cow and cattle, what do we serve God with? We need our cow and cattle to offer unto the Lord. He said, won't go. He said, all right. Okay, carry your cow and your cattle, but leave your wife and your children. Something he must hold you back with. I mean, he said, leave your wife and children. Moses said, we will go with our children. We will go with our wives. We will serve God together. Don't let the devil negotiate you out of your blessing. Amen. Now, the enemy came and said, Yes, good. You have sown the seed of your car to the ministry, and you are the president of the ministry. So drive it as an official car. Wrong. I say, Satan, foolish you. I know scriptures. Until the wheat of corn falls to the ground and die, it will abide alone. If I start driving that car because I say I'm president of this ministry as official car, it has not died. It produces no blessing. Oh my God, my life has been blessed. My life has been blessed. Amen. I don't know the number of jeeps that have been brought to me free as seed. Praise God. Hallelujah. During my inauguration as an archbishop, one state governor was there, and he got up to appreciate God for, he said, I know this man from number 12 in Abasi Street. He said, we were neighbors. He said, who will ever tell me I will be a governor someday? He said, but I've watched his tenacity serving God. He said he used to be striking our street then with his wife. And all of us said, ah, which kind of man is this? Church day here before he came now? Amen. He said, it's a joy and an honor for me to see my former neighbor lifted today by God. He said, the government will send a jeep as our appreciation. Amen. They brought that. I had moved to Lagos. Drove it all the way to my house in Lagos. And I came to enter into this car. As I opened the door to appreciate the car, to enter into it, I heard clearly, it's a seed of another greatness. And I called John, who was my PA logistics then. I said, John, get the document of this car. It's gone. You guys sell it. Put the money to the building of Salem. In Lagos. It went. And I've had this come over and over. What happened is, when a seed is sown like this, the person that sowed that seed is blessed. But what you do with that seed determines whether you are going to be blessed or not blessed. If you are a permanent consumer, you'll be permanently down. Consumers have no future. So don't look for what to get. Look for what to give. Don't look for what to get. Look for what to give. Let your giving be your preoccupation. The bringing, the getting is a result. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to the Extraordinary Life Podcast with Archbishop Sam Amago.